This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What is going on, guys? All right, it has been a while since we've had a show. We've been on hiatus for about 4 weeks now, but we are back with episode 33 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, you can follow the show at Talk Loud Podcast. We are on all iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, pretty much all your podcast networks, streaming on the Going for Two app, and live on Facebook every Tuesday night. All right, guys, we have a great show today. I'm going to have four of my rankers from goingfor2.com come on tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of rankings here. We're about a few days away from the biggest draft weekend. This coming weekend is August 26th, August 25th. A lot of drafts going on this week, and then, of course, the following weekend as well, the weekend before the season starts off. So before we get started, I want to kind of give a quick premise of the show tonight. We're just going to be breaking down our PPR draft rankings, our redraft rankings. Like I said, I got all four of my writers on here, all four of my rankers. We're just going to go through and deep dive. We're going to try to not just give you the top 10. You know, every podcast gives you top 10, but I'm going to assume that our audience is a little more educated in fantasy football, and they know who the top 10 are. We're going to do a little bit deeper dive. Play a game I call Breakout or Fake Out. We'll do a first-round mock draft. And then at the end here, we'll give you some sleepers to look for late in your rounds here. So before we get started, let's go ahead and meet the panel here. First up, he's been writing with me for, I think, about 2 years now. He's been ranking on Fantasy Pros since even before I even met him. And that's Brad Richter. You could follow him at RotoPilot on Twitter. Brad, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Jack.
Glad to have you on, man. All right. The other guy we have coming on next, he's been on the show quite a few times. This will be his first time on the video podcast version. You can find him on Twitter, Mike Kelly, DLP. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
All right, man. It took a little bit to get you on, but I think we're good to go finally. Of course, Ryan has been with us quite a few times lately. He's our next guest here. You can find him on Twitter at FantasyFBConnect. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Ready to talk some football with you guys.
Definitely. And finally, we got our newest guest. He's a new writer for us. He's been doing some fancy writing this season coming up. Jeremy Ma. Jeremy, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Yeah, good. Getting excited for football. Baseball's still kind of wrapping up a little bit, but yeah, really looking forward to football for sure.
Definitely. All right, guys. We're just going to go ahead and sort of jump right into this. We're going to start off with breakout or fake out. Basically, I'm going to go around the table here, and I'm going to give you a player, and you're going to deem him a breakout player this year or a fake out player, and tell us why you think that. And we'll get started here with Brad, a running back here. It's in Seattle. Everyone kind of hyped up, Rashad Penny when he got drafted, but this guy's getting a little bit more hype than Penny is right now, and now Penny is injured. And that's Chris Carson. What do you think about Chris Carson, Brad?
Yeah, he's definitely getting more hype these days with the coach saying that he's going to be the guy, at least to start the season, with Penny working his way back from injury and being a rookie and all. I think he's definitely a talented back, but I just have a lot of question marks about him and the Seattle offense in general in the running game. He had a broken leg last year that cost him most of the season. Seahawks as a team only scored one rushing touchdown by a running back all last year, and their offensive line was bad last year and supposed to be bad again this year. So between all that, plus their defense is going to be a little weaker this season, so I don't know if they're going to be pounding the rock very often. Might be coming behind. A lot more Russell Wilson probably here. And like you mentioned, Rashad Penny's still there. They invested a first round pick in him, so I can't imagine they're just going to keep him on the bench. So I guess at this point, I guess I would consider him a pick.
All right. I'm sorry, I missed that. You said he's a fake out?
Fake out.
All right, good deal. I'm having some internet issues over here, and you're kind of cutting in and out, so I'm trying to get that fixed as we speak. All right, so Chris Carson, a fake out. You think where he's being drafted so late, or you think his ADP has risen enough that he's no longer worth the value?
Yeah, I think it, right now he's probably at an okay point, but I see it continuing to rise in the coming weeks unless we hear something different over the last couple preseason games. So I think he's just going to kind of exceed past where his value is.
Fair enough. I think I may have to agree with you on that. And some of the points that you pointed out, offensive line, I know me and Ryan have talked about this extensively, but the Seattle Seahawks in the draft took a kicker ahead of an offensive lineman, even though they had offensive lineman needs. It's pretty telling that their offensive line is going to be horrible again this year. Russell Wilson is going to be running around for his life. They can't run the ball. It's going to be a lot of trouble there, no matter who's in the backfield. I agree with you on that one.
Worst drafting team in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny because a few years ago when they were winning Super Bowls and going, they thought they were the best drafting team. They got all these guys late round that were doing really well, and lately it's been terrible for them. Yeah. All right, Ryan, let's go to you next. Your player is going to be running back 46, Packers running back Aaron Jones. You got him as a breakout or a fake out?
Oh. That was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep.
That's Mike.
Yep, I'm sorry. Mike, let's go to you. I'm sorry. I had the wrong guy there.
No problem. I have him as a fake out. I have zero faith in Packers running backs. And in fact, I've been calling them the new New England lately. they're for a long time, people avoided all the New England running backs because you never knew who was going to get the ball. Well, in Green Bay, I don't think anyone's getting the ball anyway. It doesn't matter picking the right one each week. Plus, you got the 2-game suspension. He's got health issues. He, even when he played last year, he didn't play all that great. He had a couple of good games, but had a couple of really bad games. So I just don't see the Packers committing to Aaron Jones in running the ball, 15 plus times a game and getting enough touches to have any value. I mean, I know his ranking is, 46 right now? And that's probably fine for a ranking, but I wouldn't expect production better than anything of running back 46.
Fair enough. So we got him labeled as a fake out then?
That's right.
All right. Yeah, I think I agree. I think that running back carousel is going to be a nightmare all year. You're not going to know who's going to have the big game. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. You still got, Ty Montgomery still there. So, I agree. I think he's going to be a fake out. I'm not going to try to own him now. Granted, every player in the league has value at some point, but for where he's being drafted, I don't know if I would even want him at that point. I'd want him a little bit later than what he's going. So I agree. Fake out for me as well. All right, Ryan, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit with you, so let's go to you now. Your guy is a RB52, Eagles running back Corey Clement. What do you think of Corey?
Dude, I'm excited. Last time I was on the podcast, I just talked negative about everybody. I love Corey Clement. I have him as a breakout this year. Last year he led the team in rushing touchdowns, which nobody seemed to notice. And he had only four more carries than Ajayi and 99 less carries than Blunt. It still was their red zone, their main guy in the red zone. He also has receiving ability, which helped him stay on the field in those situations. So he has a role right now, no matter what, with the team. And then he's behind J.J.I.E., who is always injured, and he suffered a undisclosed lower body injury today just in time for this podcast. And he's going to move up the list. If he gets that starting job, he can easily become an RB2 or higher because he'd be the starting running back in a high-powered offense, and those are the guys you want to target. Somebody you can take in the late round, somebody you can take over the job and run with it.
All right.
So he's definitely a breakout.
Breakout for you. I can't say 100% I'm on board there just because I think there's so many mouths to feed. Now, with the injuries we've heard about, some of the receivers, and now you said there's an injury to J.J., maybe that changes my philosophy on things. But in the beginning of the season or the beginning of the offseason, I wasn't too high on him. However, If those things that, you know, you just talked about do come to fruition, I can see where he can definitely be a value. Super Bowl, he had a huge game, and if he can carry that over into the season, definitely could see him being a breakout. And where he's being drafted, you could probably take him. He's almost free at this point, almost going being undrafted in some of the smaller, like 10, 12 team leagues. So definitely a good value there, and he has the upside for sure in that high-powered offense. So good stuff there. All right, Jeremy, let's go to you. I got a running back that's a little bit higher than some of the other ones, only because people are so indifferent about him. They're either high on him or they're really down on him. That's RB21 Titans running back Derrick Henry. What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry?
Yeah, and like a lot of people, I could probably be swayed either way. But I list him as a fake out, and more so because we're going towards the PPR situation in fantasy leagues. And I think in a standard league, he's fine. But he's just going to lose so many catches to Deion Lewis. He's going to lose a lot of work. If they hadn't brought in Lewis, then I think he's going to be a full-time three-down back with a ton of potential. The Titans also brought in new offensive coordinator and coach. So I think from the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. And I think if they try to do anything like they try to do with Gurley, he's just not going to be the same kind of guy because he's such a north-south runner. And I could see him still getting, you know, like 750, 800 yards and, you know, a lot of touchdowns. But and he's great as the RB2, but I don't know. I think I'm a little bit less high on him than other people are, for sure.
Fair enough. I'm actually a little bit higher than most, and I may be a little biased because I have him on my Dynasty team, and I traded for him last year knowing that he'd probably get the prime spot this year. I was a little upset when they signed Deion Lewis. I thought I had a featured back there, so that kind of hurt his value a little bit. I think the upside is still there, depending on what they do with Deion Lewis. And, as you said, you know, he's going to be the short yardage guy. He's going to be the guy in close. But Deion Lewis for the Patriots was, you know, an inside runner as well. He wasn't the small scat back that people thought he was. Granted, he gets hurt, so that could be a caveat there for Derrick Henry. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think overall, I think maybe I'm not going to draft him where he's going now. If he falls a little bit for whatever reason in this next preseason game, week 3, if we see Deion Lewis getting too many touches, he may fall a little bit. Maybe then it becomes a value again. So good stuff there. All right, Brad, let's go back to you. We're going to do receivers now. Wide receiver 48, second-year receiver Lions, wide receiver Kenny Golladay. What are your thoughts on Kenny Golladay?
Yeah, Kenny Golladay, I mean, he showed a lot of promise last year as a rookie. I mean, he pulled up 28 grabs, 477 yards, and that was just in 11 games. So even if you just extrapolate those numbers out to a full season, he should see an increase this year. He definitely has big playability. He had 5 catches of over 40 yards last year and averaged 17 yards per catch. So just staying on the field with that big playability will be a big boost to his production this season. Plus, I think he could gain more traction in the red zone this year. He's got a big 6'4 frame. They got rid of Eric Ebron, finally. could open up a few targets in the red zone and in between the 20s even. For Galladay as well. Made a note to Fantasy Pros the other day doing a player update for him that saw that Galladay was actually used in 2 receiver sets over Golden State that preseason game as well. So I don't know if that'll translate into the regular season or not. I found it kind of interesting. Or at least playing around with them in the set. So I'd say definitely as a late round play, he's definitely a breakout
here. All right, good stuff, good stuff. Yeah, I've been telling everybody to kind of buy Golladay, not only for this year, what he can do this year, but next year. I think Marvin Jones's contract is going to basically create a situation where he may be a cap casualty. I believe Tate becomes a free agent next year, or he's got an option to opt out of his contract. One of those two guys, if not both of them, will be gone. So Golladay in the Dynasty League is a good. Now, this year in redraft, I think where he's going, I think he does have some value. And, of course, like you mentioned, he's got that red zone upside with his big frame. Tate's not that guy. You know, Tate's the underneath guy. Marvin Jones has got a little bit of that, but not quite as much as Kenny Golladay. So I think I'm agree with you on that one. I think just from sheer – if he can just stay healthy all season, just from that fact alone, I think he can be a breakout for sure. All right. Let's see what we got next here. We got Mike – Going to the Bucks with wide receiver 53, second year receiver Chris Godwin. What's your thoughts on Chris Godwin? Mike?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. I said lost connection for a second there. Chris Godwin. Oh, I love Chris Godwin. I'm a big dynasty guy, and I gobbled him up everywhere last year, knowing I'd sit on him for a year. Still might be a year too early with DeSean Jackson still there. But I think he's got potential. They declared him the number two early in camp. He didn't have to fight for it all through camp. It was right before camp started. They were like, nope, he's earned number two. So that's a good sign. He had some pretty good games at the end of last year. He bailed Winston out on a horrible throw in the last preseason game. So that's got to put some confidence in him when he comes back. So I just think he's trending upward. And if you're talking about the 53rd wide receiver, yeah, I'll take that. I think he breaks out past that. Does he break wide receiver two stat numbers? That might be tough given, you know, Evans, D-Jax, Brate, Howard, Humphreys, Sims, Barber, Rojo, a lot of offensive weapons there. But I think he could make his way up into a flex play, especially in deeper leagues. He's definitely worth it. And of course, Dynasty, I'm all over. I think I have him. He's probably my most owned player in Dynasty because I just think when D-Jax is gone, one of the tight ends I think might eventually go, and I think he'll just take off from there.
All right, good stuff. So got him as a breakout player from where he's being drafted. I think you could almost get him free in a lot of redraft leagues. Not going very high at all. No one's talking about him unless you're in Dynasty. He's pretty popular in Dynasty, but in redraft, I don't think the casual fantasy player probably doesn't even know his name. But yeah, I think he's definitely going to be a breakout. Unfortunately, unlike you, I actually traded him away early in the season. Because I have such good receivers, I needed some running back depth, so I actually traded him in a couple package deals. Ended up with 3 first-round picks this year, so I got Sony Michel, Chubb, and Royce Freeman this year to kind of bolster my running back core over the next few years in my Dynasty League. So I hope he doesn't break out too much because I'm going to be upset that I traded him away. But yeah, in redraft, I think where you're getting him, he's definitely free. So if you're in a deep redraft league, 14 team, 16 team, he can definitely be an asset to you, and he can definitely break out and, you know, be that player this year, especially with DJX's injury history. If he gets injured at all, he steps in, he gets all the targets that DJX would have gotten. Could be good for him as well. All right, Ryan, we're going to you next. Colts receiver, wide receiver 70 right now. Wide receiver Ryan Grant. What are your thoughts on Ryan Grant?
I have him as a fake out. Nothing's really impressive about Ryan Grant. He's a 27-year-old receiver who we're expecting a breakout of. When you're already that old, we know what we're going to get out of you. He's not an 186-pound guy, so he's not anything special, like a freak athlete that's just been hiding. He's been part of a Redskins receiving core that's been lackluster. In his best season, he only managed 45 catches and 580 yards. I don't think the addition of him going to the Colts and being their number two is going to be anything special for fantasy. Luck's last 4 wide receiver twos, they had 64 receptions from Moncrief. And outside of Moncrief, his number two receiver had 38 and 38 catches. So that's not very good company. So, yeah, the opportunity looks great, but it's real. I don't know if it really is. And the talent really isn't special either. So I'm going to pass on him.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm with you in redraft. Maybe a little more attractive in Dynasty, but in redraft, I don't like him. Right, there's a guy later on that I actually see I listed as the wrong team just now. But the guy I got you talking about in just a little bit, I know you're really high on him. That might actually take some of those targets away from Ryan Grant, but we'll talk about him in a little bit. All right, let's go to you, Jeremy. We got Redskins. We just talked about the Redskins a little bit with Ryan Grant, but we'll stay there with wide receiver 61, Redskins receiver Paul Richardson. What's your thoughts on him?
I have him as a fake out, and not because I don't like the guy or I don't think he's talented. I think he's incredibly talented. I just think his situation is not good. Like, he could potentially be the 5th target on the Redskins behind Crowder, Doxson, Chris Thompson, and Jordan Reed. And there's just so many options. And now they're bringing in Alex Smith, who, yeah, like, he had, I think it was the 2nd most accurate deep passes last year, but they also had Tyreek Hill, who's a freak, in my opinion. So I mean, Richardson, he can surely catch, you know, long balls anytime, but he could also go, you know, zero catches in a game. So I think where he's being drafted, I think it's just too high. You can get guys much safer in that area.
I agree. I think he's a boomer bust kind of guy. I think if we're doing best ball, he might be a guy you want to own, because he'll have that really big game where he catches two long touchdowns, but you'll get that game where he may see only three targets a game. So, yeah, I agree. I think he's a fake out. Now, if we have injuries, if Josh Doctson, you know, can't come back from his injury, or if Crowder has some nagging injuries, or if Jordan Reed gets injured, which, you know, is going to probably happen, maybe he has more value. But as of right now, I don't think I'm drafting him in redraft leagues. I'm going to let him stay on the waiver wire for now. All right, let's go to tight end. And back to you, Brad. We'll go with the Bucs tight end. Tight ends are a little bit harder to go really deep on because after a while they just become nothing. So I kind of got a little bit higher tight ends than normal. But tight end 14 currently is O.J. Howard. What are your thoughts on O.J. Howard?
Yeah, when I'm looking at tight ends and I'm looking for tight end potential to break out, the main thing I'm looking at is touchdown potential. And O.J. Howard definitely has that. I mean, he's got all the physical tools, big red zone target. He showed some of that ability last season. Scored six times. He had a 2-touchdown game, and he scored 3 touchdowns in the last 5 games that he played last year. Tight ends can take a little while to develop into fantasy assets, but I like the progress that he made over the course of last season. The re-signing of Cameron Brate, the 3-game suspension of Jameis Winston might put a little bit of cap on his upside, but I think Howard's one of the few tight ends that legitimately has double-digit touchdown potential in the league. So I would put him in the breakout camp.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on breakout as well, especially because of he is being drafted outside the top 12. Usually when you get outside of the top 12 in tight ends, you don't have a whole lot left there. But with his upside, I think that he could potentially be a top 10 tight end, maybe even top 8. So I think the potential is there. Cameron Brate does hurt you a little bit, and the Jameis Winston Brate connection that's been really good over the years might hurt you a little bit as well. But if Jameis Winston can get any kind of chemistry there with O.J. Howard, he's a freak athlete, and I think he can definitely break out this year. I'm with you. I think at tight end 14, I'm taking that chance, and especially if I'm one of those guys, which I am, that wait on tight end for as long as possible. I think Howard is an excellent target for that upside for sure. All right, going back to you, Mike. We got tight end 24, Ricky Seals-Jones from the Cardinals. What are your thoughts on him?
This one's a little tricky for me. Because if Jermaine Gresham ends up being out long-term, I think he's got potential for a breakout. I mean, as tight end 24, I think he can make his way into the mid-teens at least. But if Gresham's there, I just don't see that happening. You know, the Cardinals have never been tight end heavy. There's definitely potential. He had a couple of good games last year where I think he had like 3 touchdowns in 2 games. He was a big target, and it worked out well. And then everyone would jump on the Ricky Seals bandwagon, and then they flatlined the end of the season. And I think it hurt a lot of people. So I think there's potential, but I think we're still a little too early. You know, if Gresham gets out of the way, gets a little more time to develop some chemistry with maybe Rosen comes in the game and he becomes one of Rosen's lean-on guys, that could be there. But in a redraft, I'm not wasting my time. He could be a fake out for redraft.
Agreed, 100%. I think that people were high on him because of those 2 games last year, and I don't think that those 2 games should really give him some fantasy value. Tight end 24, really, he's going undrafted, I mean, by far, so he can be sit there in the waiver wire, and I think I'm going to leave him there. I don't think I'm touching him. Like you said, Cardinals have never been a big tight end team anyway, so, you got DJ there, you got Fitz still there. You'll have either Christian Kirk or Chad Williams will be getting targets as well. I think I'm going to pass on him as well, so I'm with you on that fake out for me as well. All right, Ryan, we're going to go talk about your boy now. This is the one I kind of alluded to earlier. I have him listed on my sheet here as the Lions, but of course he's now with the Colts. Tight end 16, Eric Ebron.
I might be the head of the Eric Ebron bandwagon. I'm all in on him this year. I think the public perception of him is kind of screwed up because of him obviously going 10th in the NFL draft as a rookie 4 years ago and people thought he's going to be Gronk. You spend that kind of capital on a guy, that's what the fantasy community wants. But unfortunately, he's not, which is fine. He's in his fourth season. He's only 25 years old. There's rookies coming in who are older than him now. So he has three straight seasons of 40 receptions, 500 yards. He's on a weak offensive team. I mean, we talked about Ryan Grant. It's so bad that we're expecting Ryan Grant to do something. Jack Doyle has been reliable, but he's a subpar athlete. He's slow, and he's master dad running. But he's just going to be a dump-off. Somebody's going to be working the slot, and chances are it's going to be Ebron. And he could roll into the top 12 tight end easily this year, if not higher, because he's been right around there the last three seasons anyways. He's a super athlete, and he can stretch the field. And he can be a red zone threat when they really don't have one outside of Doyle, because T.Y. Hilton's tiny and so is Ryan Grant. So I think if he can get his touchdown numbers into that 6 to 8 range, we're going to be looking at Ebron under a completely different light than we have as just a yardage guy. So I think he can easily finish top 7 this year.
Fair enough. Wow, top 7's a little bit steep for me. I think if we're talking about what I say, he was tight end 16. If he's going there, by the time I draft, I can see myself taking Eric Ebron because, like you said, you know, as bad as people think that he was, he actually has been pretty decent. He is still young. He has Andrew Luck, who we know loves the tight end, especially in the red zone. He's actually had two tight ends before that are actually fantasy viable at the same time. So there is that. There is the fact that they don't really have much at receiver. Ryan Grant's their number two. I think it's Carlos Rogers. Is that the guy's name? Chester Rogers. Yeah, he's the number three. So I think Eric Ebron, just from sheer volume alone, could end up being a top 10 tight end. And at tight end 16, again, if I'm one of those guys that are going to wait on tight end, you know, he could be in that range too, where you wait long enough to get, you know, get a guy like that that has that upside. So I'm not going to go quite with a breakout, but he's not going to be a fake out either. I'm going to kind of go right in the middle there and say that he ends up maybe a top 12 tight end. So a little bit higher than his ADP, but still not a true breakout. All right, Jeremy, you're going to wrap up our breakout or fake out with a rookie tight end 23 for the Miami Dolphins, Mike Gesicki.
So I have him as a breakout. Traditionally, I know tight ends don't do very well the rookie season, and I think it could very well be that way for this guy, but he's an athletic freak. He's going to get Tannehill back healthy. Tannehill, over the last 3 years, has thrown for over 580 attempts, posted back-to-back 4,000 yards. And then you look at their receiving options that they have, and you have Devontae Parker, who hasn't really panned out too much, and then Danny Amendola, who gets hurt pretty much seemingly every season anyways. So I like him a lot. I think, again, he's going to be a guy who you're probably not going to have to waste a draft pick on until the very, very end of your draft. And there's a lot of upside for him, in my opinion.
Agreed. I think that the receiving options there is definitely what you want to look at, because Jarvis Landry is gone, and his, I forget what he had, 113, 115 targets or whatever it was. I think those are gone. I think that, you know, Gesicki will absorb some of that. They'll have red zone packages for him that he can get those touchdowns. He may not have, like, I think it's going to be one of those where, like, if he doesn't score a touchdown, he won't give you much because he won't be a volume type tight end. But I think if he gets those touchdowns and be the red zone option, and I think he can be, I think he can definitely exceed his ADP. And like you said, he's pretty much free. You can get him, you know, right before you draft your defense and your kicker, you can probably draft him there and have that upside in the tight end. So I will go with you on that one as well. I got him as a breakout. All right. Take a quick commercial break here. When we come back, we'll do a first round mock draft with all of the rankers here. So hang tight, guys. I'm going to do a quick commercial break.
Today's show was brought to you by Daily Fantasy Nerd. They have everything you need to build better lineups. You can analyze stats, view up to the minute Vegas lines, check player game logs, import and manage your own projections, build optimal lineups, and a bankroll tracker. To get started for free, visit goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. That's goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd Start winning today.
Three shows, one podcast. The Talk Loud Radio podcast combines sports, nerds, and pop culture with the Pay Me No Mind show. Just down-to-earth sports and entertainment. The Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast Show. The latest movies and video games with a dash of comedy. And the Armchair Fantasy Show. Eat, sleep, fantasy sports. Find Talk Loud Radio on all the major podcast services like iTunes and Stitcher at talkloudradio.com and streaming on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Talk Loud Radio, where sports, nerds, and pop culture collide.
All right, guys, welcome back. We are here tonight with four of my rankers. Of course, you can always find the show at talkloudradio.com, all of your podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio. You can always find us live on Tuesday nights on Facebook as well. We're going to go ahead and kick off a first-round mock draft. Of course, we're going to do PPR. We'll just kind of do it roundtable style. We'll do a 12-team league. Each writer here will get three picks, basically, in a snake format. So we'll start off the top here with Jeremy. Who is your number one overall pick?
For me, it's Todd Gurley. I think he's got so many tools that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a good runner. And I think the Rams are going to be winning a lot of games, and they'll be because of him.
Agreed. I think that, you know, like you said, winning a lot of games, that's going to equal him running the clock out at the end of games. He can do it all. He can catch, he can run, he can do pretty much everything. He's got a high volume touchdown scorer as well. So I agree, Todd Gurley, pretty much everywhere I've seen him. I don't see him going anywhere else but number one. Ryan, who you got at number two?
I'll take Lev Bell at number two. I mean, his workload's been there every single year. He's on his franchise tag again. So chances are he's not going to be back, which means Pittsburgh's just going to run him into the ground. He's going to see an absurd amount of touches this year, and I'm going to take advantage of it.
All right, fair enough.
He's going to get 300 carries, another 80 balls thrown his way.
Definitely. I think you're right. I think they're going to run him into the ground. They know that this is definitely his last year. He'll be somewhere else next year. So, for sure, I think that Love Bell needs to go number two. All right, so far we got no surprises. Number three, Mike, who you got number three?
I want to take Johnson, but I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott just because I think they'll take it easy on Johnson and they're not going to run him into the ground like they used to. And I think they have more weapons there. And I think if Dallas wants any shot at winning, that ball goes through Ezekiel Elliott, whether he's running it, whether he's catching it. He's just going to get 25, 30 touches a game. And when it comes to fantasy, when you get those kind of numbers, you can't turn that down.
I agree. I actually had him ranked four. I think I want to raise him to three. Not that it matters too much, four or three, but I think Ezekiel Elliott will be evolved a little bit more in the passing game than he has in the past, and I think that boosts his numbers a little bit. And like you said, Dallas is known for running the running backs, you know, quite a bit. I think Murray said like an NFL record a few years ago with carries. So they will possibly do that again with Ezekiel Elliott. All right, so far still no surprises. Brad at number four. Who you got at number four?
Well, I'm probably going to give you a surprise. I'm going to go with Kamara over Johnson. I had Kamara over Elliott pretty easily. Johnson sliding to me made it more difficult. But I'm still going to go with Kamara. I mean, he was third in the league last year in running backs for PPR scoring, and that was with, you know, not very many carries. First three, 4 weeks, Adrian Peterson was still around taking away carries. You know, this year Ingram's not there the first 4 weeks. I know there's talk that Kamara's not going to get extra workload, but when you got a back as versatile and as explosive as he is, I find that kind of hard to believe. I know. So just a small increase in touches per game, 2-3 more per game with his ability, upside, explosiveness, and things like that, especially in a PPR league where he's going to catch probably 80-plus balls again. Give me Kamara.
All right. That's definitely a surprise. I'm not seeing Kamara go that high, but I actually put in one of my articles. I don't have the stats in front of me, but his touchdowns per touch rate was on the same level as LaDainian Tomlinson's breakout year, or not breakout year, but his record-breaking year. You know, I don't know if he can sustain that level of touchdown rate. I forget what the actual rate was, but I know it was comparable to Tomlinson, his touchdown year. And, you know, if he was to extend out to a full season of getting that kind of touches and that kind of rate, you know, he could be the number one back overall at that potential. So I can definitely see him going this high. I don't know if I'm risking it necessarily. I think I like DJ here. But as you said, you know, Kamara is going to have that workload with no Ingram. So, yeah, I'm not going to hate on that too much. All right, Jeremy at number five. Who you got?
It's got to be David Johnson at five. I would actually have Barkley at number five if Johnson's gone by now. But, yeah, like he's just a workhorse. We've seen his talent, his skill out of the backfield. I think a rookie quarterback's going to lean heavily on him to bail him out in a lot of situations. And we've seen him miss tackles all over the field. So for me, it's David Johnson.
Fair enough. So you have Barkley over Kamara, correct?
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit? I know we're doing a mock draft here, but I just want to get your point of view on that.
Yeah, like in the first round of running backs, I think you could almost, you know, throw them all in a hat, take one out, and you're not going to be wrong with any of them. I just like Barkley a little bit more because I like the Giants' offense a little bit more when, like, as soon as Ingram comes back, it's going to be more of a time shift or a time share with Kamara. And I really think that the Giants really believe in Barkley, and rookie running backs drafted that high have done really well over the last few years, as we've seen. And, yeah, I'm just really high on Barkley.
All right, fair enough. All right, Ryan, we're going to you with pick number six. Who you got?
Hate all of you guys. I'm a Ravens fan, so I'm taking my second Steeler, go with Antonio Brown. He's automatic. He's locked in as a top three receiver every year. And nothing's going to change. He's the top guy in that offense. He's going to get volume. He's going to get red zone threat or get the red zone targets. It's just locked in there. I have him over both Kamara and Barkley. He'd be my number five.
Oh, wow. Okay. So good stuff there. Mike at number seven. Who you got going at number seven?
I'm actually going with Hopkins here. With Watson back, I just think that, you know, Hopkins proved he was the man last year, even without him. And I think it's just going to be better this year. I'm passing on Barkley because he's got that hamstring injury. And anyone that drafted Corey Davis in the top five or three last year knows how frustrating a hamstring injury can be, especially the guy that really needs his hamstrings. So, you know, I just wouldn't risk Barkley when I could get something a little more solid and guaranteed in a Hopkins here.
All right. Fair enough. I have no issues with that. I actually have Barkley, I think, ranked the lowest out of all of us. So, yeah, I'm okay with that as well. All right, and now we are going to Brad. Who do you have at number eight, Brad?
Pick eight. I'm going to go with another running back. I like the second round wide receivers a lot better than reaching for like a backup or a Julio Jones or something here. So I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon. He definitely is a workhorse back for San Diego. He gets all the carries. He gets all the pass catching. Going to be heavily used in the red zone. They just feed that guy like crazy. Without their tight end this year,
Hunter Henry,
could even get more work in the red zone when they get down close. So I just like the volume, consistently good offense with Rivers at the helm and such. So give me Gordon.
All right, good stuff. So Gordon over Barkley at this point. All right, so let's go to Jeremy. I'm guessing I know who you're going to take here. Who you got at nine?
Okay. And just to echo Brad's point too, I like my teams a lot better when I take a running back first round, wide receiver second round. I just don't like the running backs in the second round as much. Like the difference I find, like not that there's obviously anything wrong with Antonio Brown and Hopkins and Beckham all, you know, in the first round, but I just like the way my team shakes out when I take a running back in the first.
All right, good stuff. So you're going Barkley here, I'm guessing, right? Number nine?
You bet.
All right. Let's go to Ryan at number 10. Who you got?
I'm finally getting somebody I like. I'm taking Dalvin Cook here. Last year, Vikings running backs killed it after he was out, and he killed it before he was there. They had top 12 performances almost every single week with Latavius Murray and Jarrett McKinnon, who are nowhere near the three-down back that he is. I think that's a high-powered offense. He's going to get tons of red zone carries. I don't believe in Latavius Murray stealing them just because he's not as good of a running back. And I think Dalvin Cook has the explosive ability to be a big-time threat in the passing and obviously rushing game. So I'm locking him in there.
All right. So you aren't afraid of that whole report out of camp that they're going to split carries, Murray and Cook?
No, not at all.
Yeah, me neither.
The cream rises to the top.
Yeah, I think they said the same thing last year when he was a rookie, and then they started off the season, and I don't think Murray even got a touch in that first game. So I agree. I think it's just camp talk. All right, Mike, number 11, who you got?
I think I take Leonard Fournette here. I think he's going to improve on last year even, and not that he did poorly last year, but I think he'll do a little more in the passing game and pass protection, which will put him on the field for third down more often. And I just see him picking up right where he left off and having another solid year on a team that's a defensive run-first team that wants to, you know, slow down the game and pound the ball and wear you down and win the game in the fourth quarter. And that's, you know, Fournette is the perfect fit for that style. He's on the perfect team, perfect situation, and I just like the potential there.
It's funny you mentioned his pass pro, because I actually I follow a guy on Twitter, and I can't think of his Twitter name now, or I'd give him a shout-out. But he did a breakdown of Leonard Fournette's pass pro in camp and compared it to his pass pro last year, and he's improved it dramatically. I mean, they showed a few plays where he's picking up the blitzing linebacker in camp, and I think you're right. I think he will be on the field a lot more than he was last year. He had the volume last year. If he can just stay healthy, not miss any games, I think he can definitely be a good pick at number 11. I think in one of my redraft leagues, I think I got him at 12, and then on the turn got Melvin Gordon. So I was like, super ecstatic about getting Fournette that late. So good stuff there. All right, Brad, bring us home with pick number 12. Who are you going with?
Pick 12. I guess I'll go with Kareem Hunt. Stick with the running backs. Be in the turn. I'd probably spin it back around with Odell coming back on 13. So Hunt's going to continue to get the volume in Kansas City with a rookie. Well, second year, I guess, but first year starter with Mahomes at quarterback. I think they might lean on Hunt a little bit more when they need red zone work, things like that, until Mahomes gets clicking with his receivers and gets a little more experience. So give me Hunt.
Definitely. I like Hunt, too. I don't know why Hunt's getting a lot of hate in the fantasy community. I mean, he was a beast last year, and it just seems like people are down on him for some reason, and I don't understand it, really. I think he's going to be – I don't know if he's going to be exactly what he was last year. Last year was sort of a really big season for a rookie. I think they got some weapons there. Maybe he takes a little bit of regression, but not enough that at 12 you won't take him. So I like Hunt there as well. All right, now the point that everyone's kind of been waiting for. Everyone loves sleepers. I know in today's fantasy, I've written this many times, there's not a true sleeper anymore. There's too many of guys like us, quite frankly, that talk about every single player as a sleeper. So there's not any true sleepers from back when I started playing in the late 90s, where you had to like read camp notes and do other kinds of crazy stuff to find guys. Now it's like basically force-fed you. You got RotoWire, you got RotoWorld, you got every notification going straight to your phone. So there's no true sleepers anymore. We're going to look at some guys actually that are outside of our top 150. So we're going to dig a little deeper than normal. We'll do two guys each. So we'll just go to one of you, and you can give me both of your guys at the same time. Tell me why you like them, and we'll go from there. Jeremy, we'll start with you. Who you got for your sleepers?
All right. So first one I have is Chris Ivory, actually. This is based on the fact that I believe that LeSean McCoy is going to get some kind of suspension. And I think you can get a guy that is going to be a number one running back on a team. We have him ranked at 167th right now. So that late in the draft, it's pretty tough to find a running back that has as much upside to take the backfield to himself. So I really like Chris Ivory in the for that value. And then secondly, Quincy Nunua, Jets wide receiver. It could potentially be their number one with Robbie Anderson, again, facing another potential suspension. And Allen seems to be coming back, and he had a great year last year. I think I know Nunua might be dealing with a little bit of a neck injury, but I like him in the position he's going through. for a lot of value.
Yeah, I love some Quincy Enunwa. I actually had a talk on Twitter just today, actually, about him with a follower and brought him up. And he's been clicking. And if Sam Darnold actually ends up starting, I think that Quincy Enunwa and him have a great connection in camp. I watched a lot of camp video, and they were hooking up quite often. So I think Enunwa is definitely a good one there. All right, Mike, let's go to you. Who do you got for your sleepers?
I know I just talked up Fournette, but I actually love T.J. Yeldon as well. A lot of people are banking on Corey Grant for some reason, and I just think T.J. Yeldon is going to be the backup. I hate the word handcuff, but because it's a waste of space in my opinion. But if I'm going to have someone that's considered a handcuff, I want to make sure they have value originally as well. And I just see Yeldon, you know, catching, you know, he could catch 40, 50 balls easily. I think he'll get some of those runs. You know, like I said earlier, you know, Dallas is going to run Ezekiel into the ground. I don't think Jacksonville runs Fournette into the ground. They'll still give him 20 plus touches, but they want to run the ball 30 times, which means Yeldon has a shot for a good 5 to 10 carries. Last year, he averaged 5 yards a carry, you know, and had 60 carries. So it wasn't like it was only 10 carries. So I see, you know, he can get, and he didn't play the first, what, 7 games, something like that?
Yep.
So I can see him, you know, over the course of the season, getting 100 carries, getting 500 yards, catching 50 balls, maybe sneaking in 4 or 5 touchdowns. And that becomes a pretty solid flex play that you can find really late. And then if something does happen to Fournette, he skyrockets.
Exactly. That's true. That's a good point.
And then the second one, is actually Ben Watson. I know he's like 125 years old or something like that, yeah. But
he's ageless. You know,
the last time he played with Drew Brees, he caught 74 passes, 825 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And there's talk right now that he has not lost a step, that he's still got it. And the Saints have no tight end. Drew Brees likes his tight ends. And, you know, he has an opportunity to, you know, really shine there. Even last year in the anemic Baltimore offense, he caught 61 balls for over 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. So give him a good quarterback, give him a good offense. And if he really does still have that spring in his step, I think he could slip into the top 10 at tight ends on people. And you can get him on the waiver wire probably 3 weeks into the season.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Yeah, I mean, Ben Watson seems like he just doesn't age. All right, Brad, who you got?
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit, but I feel like I have to talk about Alex Smith. I have him ranked higher than everybody else here and pretty much everybody else in the industry. I have him ranked as my, I think it's 7th quarterback.
Wow.
I mean, he finished last year as 6th in fantasy points, and that was without playing the last week. If he would have played the last week, he probably would have ranked 2nd. While he finished 24th and 17th the previous 2 years, and that's where I started ranking him, people aren't taking into account his change moving over to the Redskins to me. I mean, Kirk Cousins ranked 4th, 5th, and 9th in fantasy points the last 3 seasons, and I view Smith as pretty much an equal as far as Kirk Cousins go. They complete about the same amount of passes. Smith was like 66.7 over the last few years. Cousins at 67%. Smith has a little lower yards per attempt, but part of that could be the offense he works in as well. And Smith, you know, makes up for some of that deficiency with his legs. He's going to run for more yards than Cousins did. He'll score a few touchdowns and things like that. So I see Smith as pretty close to being equal to Cousins, so I see no reason why, you know, he can't finish in that top, you know, 8 to 10 type range at quarterback this season, and I don't see him going there, like, anywhere.
All right, good stuff. And your second guy?
Second guy, it's hurt right now. He's working his way back. It's the Deonta Foreman. When I'm looking for a late-round running back sleeper, I want somebody that could take over and be the workhorse back. I don't really want a gadget player or something along those lines. Before he got hurt last year, he was starting to work his way into Lamar Miller's workload. Yeah, he's got to get over his injury and get healthy. but Miller has seen his yards per carry decrease each of the last three seasons. So if you can hold on to Foreman through those early season bye weeks, mid-season bye weeks, I think come the second half of the season, he could play big dividends down the stretch. I think they got a lot of winnable, easy defensive games in like weeks 11 through 15 or something like that. So he could be a factor down the stretch.
All right, good stuff. I actually like the Foreman as well. I'm pretty high on him. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think he's going to cut into Lamar Miller's workload towards the end of the season, especially if Miller continues to struggle the way he has. All right, Ryan, give us your two sleepers.
My first one I'm going to go with is very quickly running up boards right now. Might not be considered that for much longer. That's Jordan Wilkins, the rookie running back for the Colts. Marlon Mack beat up, and Wilkins has been the talk of training camp for that early down roll. I think he's produced in the SEC, which is good competition. He's a 1,000-yard rusher last year with only 155 carries against top-notch competition. He put up 100 against Alabama, so he proved he could do it when it was on the line. The Colts have an improved offensive line, not many weapons in the passing game, so he should have some role, and if he gets that starting job, he could be a huge fantasy value for us getting him basically for free right now.
Agreed, and I think I would add to that, I think the guy that everyone kind of liked before he started to emerge was Neiman Hines, and I think he has, in two preseason games in limited action, four fumbles already, so that's not a good sign.
No, the guy who's holding on to the ball and doing it's going to be the guy getting carries.
Exactly. Who's your second guy?
My second one is, I feel like he shouldn't be a sleeper because of how he's viewed the wrong way, is John Ross. I mean, if you follow the moves with the NFL teams, it kind of shows you what he is and how they view him. He was a top 10 pick last year, and he was supposed to be the role opposite of A.J. Green, and they just cut Brandon LaFell, proving that they trust John Ross and believe in him this year. He's absolutely electric. He's going to see no double coverage because A.J. Green's across from him. So he's going to be lined up all by himself with 4.22 speed to just absolutely obliterate corners. He's actually a good route runner, which nobody talks about, making him a nightmare to cover. And like I said, he's across from A.J. Green, so that makes everything easier for him. He's going to the 14th round, and he's the team's number two receiver. And we're taking guys like Jermaine Kearse, Travis Benjamin, Chester Rogers, couple rounds ahead of him.
Wow.
That's insane. So I'll take the chance on team's number two receiver who can have a big week at any time, and he can have 12 points off one play in the snap of the finger.
All right, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, guys, that wraps up tonight's podcast. Of course, you can find all of these guys at goingfor2.com. They will be providing content of some sort all season long. Also updating weekly rankings. You can all find that there. You also find it, of course, on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Before we get out of here, guys, I'm going to go just quickly around the table here. Tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter and if they can find you anywhere else besides goingfor2.com. Ryan, we'll go to you first.
You can find me at Ryan Sufoss at Fantasy FB Connect. I write for Going for Two, and I also write for Dominate Fantasy Football.
All right, good stuff. Brad, what you got here?
You can follow me on Twitter at RotoPilot. I also, besides Going for Two, do a bunch of articles over at Fantasy Pros, as well as a site called Daily Overlay, where we grade fantasy experts from around the league, around the sites for football, basketball, and baseball.
Definitely. All right, good stuff. Jeremy, what you got?
On Twitter, you can follow me at J_Ma. And I write, obviously, with Going for Two, and then a little bit with Fantasy Pros, where I write a little bit for baseball and for NHL. So, also looking forward to hockey season.
All right, good stuff. And Mike?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Kelly DLP, on Facebook. I have a Dynasty group, Dynasty League Problems. I also have a page dedicated to that. And those, you can find me there, pretty much living there all the time.
All right, good stuff. And, of course, y'all can follow me at JeffLambert77. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank y'all for coming on the show. Once again, great show. I plan, just for the listeners out there, I plan to try to do a show during the season twice a week. Tuesday will be our fantasy football seasonal show. And then Friday, I'm going to bring Gerson on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit of DFS for the weekend. So you can look forward to that. But with that, guys, I appreciate you all coming on tonight, taking an hour out of your life to come on the show. And I hope to, you know, see y'all at goingfor2.com with some good content.
All right.
Sounds good.
Great. Good night.
Good night. Y'all still there?
Yep.
Yeah. Right,
good stuff. I'm trying to exit my full screen here so I can turn off the GarageBand.